I was reading in, we have the Jesus Storybook Bible that we read to our kids sometimes, and if you haven't got it, you should read it, because, I mean, it's really a very, very cool story, just the way things are worded, and they just the way they thread the rescue of God rescuing his kids through that children's Bible. It's really cool. But when it got to the time of communion, this is what it said. But this is how God will rescue the whole world. Jesus says, my life will break and God's broken world will mend. My heart will tear apart and your hearts will heal. Just as the Passover lamb died, so now I will die instead of you. My blood will wash away all of your sins, and you will be clean on the inside, in your hearts. So whenever you eat and drink, remember, I've rescued you. And when I read that, I thought, man, that's such a good, good picture. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul, that's what Paul says. He says, he's quoting Jesus, and he says, when you do this, remember me. And as I was preparing for this message, I'll be honest with you, it was kind of odd for me. And so it's not my kind of normal message, but that's okay, because it's not about me, right? So I want you to think of that word, remember. What does it mean to you to remember? Now that Jimmy and I have three boys, that word remember means more than it ever has, because frankly, I don't remember much. And for those of you that are baseball families, our two oldest are in baseball, and I was just filling out our calendar with all of the games and all of the practices, and anybody feel me? And you're looking at not I wasn't looking so much at all of the games. I was looking at how many days we have free, because that's very, it's easier to count that, because it's, I think, one until July. I'm not really sure, but it is chaotic and it's a hot mess, but we love it. We do. We really do. But if I didn't have my phone that reminded me, you know, to go to the game or go to the practice, I would be just even more of a chaotic hot mess. But they say that the more kids you have, the more they take your brain. And that wasn't good, because I don't feel like I started off with a full one in the first place. Eddie was my brother and tormented me and threw apples at me when we were a kid. So I blame him for my brain things. But seriously, though, when we remember something, a lot of you have heard my dad share the story of my miracle when I was young. And I don't remember. I was too young to remember when I got Rice syndrome and really was going into brain death. There was nothing more they could do. And then all of a sudden God said, but wait, there's more. We kind of had a but God moment. There's times I'm reading in scripture and you start reading and all of a sudden you see those two words, but God. And sometimes we just need that moment. We need that moment where it looks the bleakest and it feels the darkest. And when we need that miracle moment where in scripture it would have said, but God, but God. And my parents have been faithful to tell me of that miracle since I can remember. I don't remember the actual thing. And that's probably good, because I might have been super traumatized even more of needles and things like that. But they have been faithful to tell me about that. I have read my mom's journals from that time. I have read all of the notes that she took. I have done reports on it in school. I have done all I can do to remember what God did for me. Because what that memory does, what remembering does for me, when God brought me essentially back from the dead, what that does when I remember that is whatever I'm facing, we say it, all life surprises. When I face a surprise, I'm able to look back and say, but if God can do that, he can do this. When I remember When I cause myself to remember and to recount the things God has done, it fuels me for whatever I'm going through. And what's more than that, it strips the enemy of a strategy he's trying to use against me. Forgetfulness. Not funny in our life, oh, I forgot. But spiritual forgetfulness is a strategy of the enemy. He uses forgetfulness to get us to forget what God has done, to make what we're going through seem like it is too impossible even for God. Spiritual forgetfulness, the enemy likes to use that as a strategy to get us to doubt God. This isn't new. He's been doing this since the beginning of time. If you were to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78. We're not going to read the whole thing, but just as a point of reference for you, we're going to talk about what happens when the enemy grabs hold of someone and causes them to forget. And most of you, I'm sure, know that the history here of the Israelites. Let me break it down for you pretty easy. They were slaves in Egypt for a very long time, and God delivered them miraculously. They forgot. God delivered them again. They remembered. God, you're so good. We love you. And then all of a sudden, they forgot. They began to walk in disobedience. And on the cycle goes. And sometimes I think it's easy for us to read those scriptures and be like, oh, the children of Israel, why are you so dumb? How could you forget the things God's done for you? The water from the rock. I mean, are you kidding me? The parting of the Red Sea, being delivered from Pharaoh's hand in Egypt, the plagues, all of them. How could you forget? But yet, how come in our lives we're so easy to forget? And maybe we would say, well, why haven't I had the plagues? I didn't experience that. And I didn't experience the Red Sea moment. And I didn't experience the water from the rock. And I haven't complained so much to God that he brought manna from heaven and quails till I was sick of them. Well, but what's your story? That's the children of Israel. That's their story. And then in Psalm 78, all through, I mean, that's a big psalm and we're not going to read it. Don't worry. But if maybe later this week, you just go through, here's the thing. So Asaph was a worship leader. I'm just going to call him that. He wrote this psalm. And he's in verse 4, it says this: we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. See, that's what my parents did to me. They told me, the next generation, about the things that God had done so that I could grab hold of them and make them my own. That's how we got scripture. They would orally tell the generation after them the things that God has done. And all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see things, write this down for a generation not yet born so that they can declare the works of our God. It was their job to tell, and not just tell, but to write down what God has done so that they would not forget, because forgetting would lead to disobedience. Forgetting would lead to doubt, which would then lead to disobedience. But remembering led to the favor and provision and the blessing of God. And we see here, if you read in verse 11, it says, talking about the children of Israel, they forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. Further down, they continue to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. Now, I'm not saying if we remember, we're not going to be without sin. No, that's not it. But in the case of the children of Israel, their forgetfulness caused them to just walk right into the trap the enemy had set for them. Remember the whole golden calf thing? Because Moses took a little longer than they wanted. And how quickly they forgot God. But when it comes to communion, Jesus says, whenever you do this, remember me. Whenever you do this, remember me. If you flip over to Psalms 103, you get the what happens when someone remembers. And if we had time, I would never do this to anyone, but hours and hours to go through Psalm 78 and the ramifications of the children of Israel forgetting. And then compare and contrast that with in Psalm 103 when David writes these words, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your disease. And in my Bible, I wrote Rye syndrome. I wrote that in there. And in another one of my Bibles, I have written my hearing loss. Though that hasn't been healed yet, I believe it will be. Maybe not this side of heaven, but it will be. And that is because he's my healer. And that's something yet that hasn't happened, but I still write it down and I still record it because I still believe that God can do it. Why? Because of what he did in my life. I remember, which fuels me for the fight the enemy wants to bring against me. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. And we could go on and down to verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And on, David writes about not forgetting, about choosing to remember. And the importance of that. It's two different psalms with two very different outcomes. The children of Israel forgot, which led to doubt, which led to disbelief, which led an entire generation to not inherit the promises of God. Minus two, Joshua and Caleb, who didn't forget, they remembered. This is the thing. When I was thinking about communion, and what does communion mean to me? And what does it mean? Why did Jesus tell us to do this in remembrance of him? And what I came up with, and I was as I was reading through and I was studying, it was just so clear to me the importance of remembering. Because when we're in the middle of whatever it is that is hurtful, that's hard, that's we're struggling with, whatever the struggle may be, it is so easy to forget. It's easy to forget that God is there for you. It's easy to forget the promises of God. That's why we have to choose to remember. I love Post-its like you wouldn't believe. They are all over my Bible because I don't want to forget things. So I write it on a Post-it. This Post-it is not holy. It's not. It helps me be holy because I remember. But all through my Bible, I have scripture, I have different translations written on Post-its. I have sermon notes from my dad and my brother, don't tell him. I have all this stuff written down so that I don't forget. How many of you journal? Anybody? I'm not great at it. I'm not. But I'm getting better. And I'll go like 2 days back to back. Good job, Sharina. Way to go. Yay. And then I'll go 4 months without. And then I'll be like, oh, I should probably write in my journal. It takes me like an hour. So I finally found this thing on my iPad where I'm able to choose questions I ask myself. And I've been more consistent with that because I don't have to sit here and write this whole big long thing and feel guilty if I don't. I just answer simple questions. And what's fun is going back and reading it. Well, a couple of weeks ago, or months, I got a new phone, so I was making sure I had everything from the one onto the other. And the things I needed, I had Jimmy print out. And what they were some journal entries from back when Jacob was born. And I wish I would have brought them with you because I was reading through those and the things that I have forgotten, even in just 4 years of when Jacob was born. But because I wrote them down, I was able to remember. Now, hello, that's simple. That's like common sense. But it's crazy when I read those things and I think, man, I wish I would do this more. I wish I wouldn't forget to do this. And I read through those things and it's not just good things. I write the hard stuff too. That's probably why I don't journal. And because I'm that person who's like, what if someone finds this? So I'll use code words. And so that I can like really get my stuff out there, but yet I'm safe. And no one has to be offended because this is just me and God. Or I'll tear it up and burn it because I'm paranoid. yeah, Amber knows. No, but I get my stuff out there. I get it out to the Lord. I get it out. And what's crazy is when I go back and read it, Because oftentimes when I'm going through a hard time, that's what causes me to journal. And I go back and read it, and I'll be going through very similar things. And it snaps me out of whatever it is I'm going through because I remembered, then it felt big. Now it feels big. But God got me through then. He's going to get me through now. And just the beauty of remembering. So, again, I told you this isn't my normal kind of message, but what I want to leave you with today is what I have been remembering about the cross. And as I was writing these little points down, very, very simple, I started with reading a little excerpt from a children's Bible. But that's the thing. Communion is simple. The gospel is simple. It's not complicated. And I think sometimes we make it complicated because we don't understand how can God forgive me so simply. I'm not saying the cross was simple. What Jesus went through was simple. But the gospel is simple. We were sinners. We owed a debt we could not pay. Jesus came and paid that debt for us. Why? Because God so loved the world. He gave his only son. It's that simple. Last night, Logan, my seven-year-old, came in, and he goes to a Christian school, and which we're super fortunate that he can do that. But what I love about it is he came in, and he should have been in bed, but I let him stay. And I was like, Logan, and I just threw out the question, what should I preach on tomorrow? He's like, well, Mom. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And 7 years old, it's communion, right? I said, yeah, because I told him that. We're doing communion tomorrow. Pretty sure Papa's talked about the cross. I said, yeah, he has. And I think it was Eddie, Logan says, who talked about the veil tearing. I was like, uh-huh, yeah. And I'm like, well, what was so big about the veil tearing? Mom, when Jesus died and everything went dark, then that veil, that big curtain tore open and just everything was open. I'm like, yeah, that was the presence of God. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, then what else should I talk about? Well, I think Papa's talked about this and Eddie too, but you should probably talk about that he didn't stay on the cross. And I'm like, well, what happened? And it's just fun for me. I was going to record it, and I didn't. So hopefully I remember. And I said, well, what happened? He's like, looking at me like, duh, you know this. But 7 years old, Jesus died on the cross. Well, why, Logan? Because he loved us. You're right. Then what happened? Well, he didn't stay there. He died on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose again. But you know what he did in between that? What, Logan? He went down and to hell, and he totally kicked the devil's hiney, and he, like, just conquered it all. And I was like, okay. He's like, all right, good night. And he goes to bed. And I'm like, seriously, it's that simple. A seven-year-old just gave me the salvation message in a very duh, Mom, kind of way. But it's that simple. And when we remember what Jesus did for us, we should remember it is that simple. Before, when I said we need to examine ourselves, and if we feel like we aren't right with the Lord, it's a moment. Changes all of that. But we complicate it. Well, no, God can't forgive me, and I've been too bad, and I've done too many things bad, and it's just, and we have this whole long list of the reasons why God shouldn't love us, and yet it's never changed his mind, not once, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans also tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of God's glorious standard. We have missed the mark. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've missed it a little or you've missed it a lot. You missed. And that puts all of us on equal footing at the cross. It doesn't matter if you just missed a little when you were a child and you've done really good up until now, or if you have missed a lot your entire life and never got it right. We stand on equal footing of the cross. It is that simple. And when we remember communion, when we remember the cross of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross when he was risen from the dead, it's that simple. Christ died to save sinners. What Paul says, of whom I am the worst. And that needs to be our life verse. because we're the worst. But in a moment, God changed everything. Remembering restores our joy. Remembering the cross and what Jesus did for us restores our hope, renews our strength, and it kind of kicks into high gear our resolve. When we remember, maybe that's why I love worship music so much, because music helps me remember. And today, when we were singing about just DQ doing his thing, does that not just make you go like, yeah, you know? And he's like, and all the demons of hell began to cheer. And then we're like, but God, hello. You know what I mean? And this is the thing I was reading, which was really cool, that I had forgotten. See what I did there? Is that the enemy of Satan and his demons had heard Jesus say that he was going to raise from the dead, because everyone heard it, but they didn't know that he was going to. So they thought when Jesus died on the cross, they're like, sweet, we did it! We did it! We did. We won, we won, we won, we won! And then Sunday came. And I was like, so then when DQ did that his thing today, and all of the demons of hell began to cheer, I was like, but God, just wait, because then Sunday came. And that strengthens our resolve. And maybe it's just me, but it should fire us up inside, whatever that looks like for you. For me, it looks like jumping around like a crazy person sometimes. For me, that means like punching the air with my fist. For me, that means turning up the volume super, super loud. For me, that means like shouting and telling myself, hello, we win. And that's the thing, is when we remember what he's done for us, we stop striving. We can't earn this. And we surely don't deserve it. But there's a very popular song right now that goes on to say, but still he gave his life away. You don't deserve it. You're right. But guess what? You can't earn it either. It's that simple. It's a gift. And when I was trying to just remember, what's communion mean to me? It's a gift. You can't earn it. There's someone here today that is striving, and you're tired. You're striving in your relationship with the Lord because you feel like you're not doing it right. You feel like you're not having devotions right. You don't read your Bible right. You don't pray right. You don't worship right. You don't even go to church right. That's what you think. And you're striving and you're striving. Or maybe you feel not just with your relationship with God, but maybe it's you as a parent, as a mom or a dad, as an employee, as a boss. You're striving because you just don't think you're doing it right. And if you just feel like you're horrible at life right now. And when it comes to communion, the enemy comes in and tries to remind you of that's one more failure. Because remember what you did. See, the devil's good at remembering all the things we did. You know what I mean? He doesn't remember the good stuff. He just remembers the bad stuff and uses that as a strategy against you because it makes sense to us. In our humanness, we try to earn this. We try to say, well, at least I'm not as bad as Dennis. So I deserve it a little bit more than Dennis does. But he does play really well, so he's got that. Well, maybe I'm better than... Nope, Matt's got it. He'll come over to this side. You know what I mean? We try to compare. And Jesus is like, equal footing. But you see how the enemy comes in and tries to remember. That's why Psalm 103, where David says, he takes our sin and puts it as far as the east is from the west. It's that simple. So it should strengthen our resolve. It should, remembering the cross should strengthen our hope. When we remember, and here's just, there's so many rabbit trails here, but in my mind I just pictured there's going to be some little nugget that you pick. And it's not going to be the same nugget. That's why we're on a rabbit trail. Because Adam needs the nugget that's way over there. So we're going to, are you with me? Is that okay? Even if it's not, I'm here. So when you're remembered, when someone remembers you, you feel value. You feel worth. When you came into this church, maybe the second or third Sunday, and Pastor remembered your name, because he's got a gift like that. When someone remembers your name, how does that make you feel? It makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we have value, we have worth. When we remember God, we're giving him value. We're giving him worth. When we remember God, it puts us in proper perspective. God is king, I am his child. When we forget, we reverse the roles. When we forget the things God has done, all of a sudden, my fear and my doubt are greater than the promises of God. Does this make sense to anybody? It's not, but that's what we feel. So the enemy takes that as a strategy. You're right. Why didn't he bring your healing? You're right. Why are you still suffering? If God was so good, and if God really loved you, then why? Why is this? That is a good solution. Why didn't God take it? And if we're not careful, and we don't choose to remember, we will fall to the trap of the enemy that comes in and tries to make us forget. Then all of a sudden, what we're going through is magnified and God is minimized. But when we remember, like David said, praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits. He redeems me from the pit. He heals me. He restores me. When we remember that, and the enemy of your soul comes in and tries to get you, we're able to see that right away, call it for what it is, and walk on in victory. Amen? What have we forgotten today? Do this in remembrance, Jesus says, of me. We remember our sin and his suffering, our debt, but his love. Our punishment, his wounds. Our affliction, his stripes. We remember his death and our life. His resurrection, our identity. His victory brought our freedom. That's what happens when we remember. We remember our debt that he paid. Our sin, our shame, our guilt, our trespasses, he paid once and for all. Colossians tells us he nailed it to the cross, canceling the written debt against you. Because of the cross, I have freedom, purpose, destiny, peace, a new identity. I have worth and I have value. Forget not his benefits. Jesus, we thank you for communion. And Lord, in my scatteredness of brain, I pray that there was something that each and every person could grab onto. Lord, I pray that we would remember what you have done in our life. And Lord, maybe if that's really hard for us to do, that's why you gave us your word. Because we can go back and remember what you did in your word and then tell ourselves, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you parted the seas then, you're going to part the seas today. If you moved the mountains then, you can move the mountains today. Lord, I pray for that one or that two who is striving. Lord, that they would just rest, that they would come to you like Matthew 11 says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, that they would drop the yoke of striving and just be a son and a daughter in your presence. That they would realize, Lord, that they are already accepted, that you have already chosen them, that you have lavished grace and mercy on them. You picked them out and set them apart. We don't have to strive anymore. We can rest in your presence. And I pray for a freedom to come over that one or the two that is feeling that today. Lord, I pray for those that are really struggling with the enemy today. Lord, that maybe today they will go home and begin just writing out the promises of God over their life and using that as the weapon that it is against our adversary. Lord, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, we will raise the standard of your word against him and remember how big you are, how good you are, that you do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, that you are already our victory, you are already our provider, you are already our healer, and you are working all things together for our good. Someone has forgotten that today and needs to be reminded. God remembers you, so we need to remember him. He is for you. He is not against you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your shed blood that paid our debt. And we thank you, Jesus, that you didn't stay there, but you rose again from the grave, just defeating death, hell, and the grave. We thank you for that. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. And in Jesus' name, would you stand with me today and let's clap and just thank the Lord for what he did for us on the cross today. We thank you, Lord, and you are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. He died for us so we can live for him. Amen. Remember, go forth and remember today. Thank you so much for being with us today. You are dismissed. Greet someone on your way out today.